Cryptocurrencies are still in their infancy, despite over a decade of evolution and seemingly endless amounts of newspaper headlines. Since 2009, countless coins have been launched, with varying degrees of success. In this podcast series, we'll be looking at one in particular, Scotcoin. Scotcoin is new, it's unique, it's made to do good, and it could revolutionise the market. Join me, Temple Melville, as I give you all you need to know about this exciting and bold new project. So, it's 1st of August 1989. John Attridge, who sits across the table from me today, was standing outside his car rental business on Australia's Gold Coast, basking in the sunshine and enjoying a year of great business. 18 days later, the 1989 Australian pilots dispute began. It went on for months, and the impact on John's rental company was devastating. More cars were sitting unused in the parking lot than were being rented out. I'll let John pick up the story.
Yeah, so on the 1st of August 1989, everything was going well. We had a car rental business. We had all these brand new Mazda cars in Queensland's tourism capital, the Gold Coast, as well as Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast. And we'd enjoyed a fabulous year the year before when we had World Expo, which was there for 6 months. So for the 6 months of the Expo and the two shoulder months either side, 10 months, we'd had more than 100% occupancy. But then fast forward to 1989, and like COVID, you're very difficult to see things coming. Every commercial pilot in Australia went on strike. And so that meant that people that were jumping off a commercial aircraft requiring to hire a car all of a sudden went from hero to zero instantly. Within less than 2-3 weeks, we went from over 100% occupancy to almost zero. So we still had all the overhead of lease payments to Mazda, the staff, the rents and other overhead that was there, irrespective of what our occupancy was, but we had no revenue. So in the face of crisis, you know, you've got two options. You can either give up or do something about it and move on. You know, relying on government and other parties is never a good strategy. So what looks back at you in the mirror every morning is the best strategy to take action. So we got together with an initial group of about 50 business owners, and these were restaurant owners and hoteliers and mechanics and lawyers and dentists and all sorts of different people. And we formed our own group because fortunately the year before I'd seen in America a system where they created their own trading currency and called it a trade dollar. And they appointed a central record keeper, a bit like a bank, to keep track of all the records. We wrote checks to one another using our own currency. So to begin the whole process, we had to issue interest-free credit lines because without that, you can't make the first purchase because nobody's got any money in the money supply. So we created a money supply, and my background's economics, so I understood that. I was appointed as the banker, for want of a better term, and we began transactions. So the very first transaction, a lawyer came and rented a car for 2 days that had previously had rent me on it, sitting there doing nothing. So I went to the records. Back in the day, we had double entry account keeping before internet, before mobile phones. And I went minus 100 on his account, plus 100 on mine, and away we went. We sent a couple of new clients to him to do legal work at $50 each an hour. So each time that happened, they wrote him a check for 50 of their dollars. And so his account went from minus 100 to minus 50 to zero. Their accounts were both at minus 50. So he had supplied back $100 worth of services that he'd bought for the car hire by doing 2 new hours of work to new people. I went to a cleaning chemical supplier because I wanted to clean up a car to sell, to get some revenue to pay some of the fixed overhead. And so I bought $100 worth of chemicals. So we went back. I wrote him a check. My account went from 100 positive to zero, and his went 100 credit. So if you work out the math on all that, the addition of all the credit equals the addition of all the loans at any point at time. So fast forward 33 years, add about 480,000 businesses in 31 countries. The actual concept is identical. So if you went into the system today and added up the credit balances, they were equal to the penny all the loans globally. But add the internet, add mobile phones, add apps and all the modern technology, and you've got the same system without the old analog way of doing things.
That's a fantastic story, and as much as I'd love to stay with sunny Australia, let's get back to the present. Can you give our listeners a bit of a background into BBX? How would you sum up the ethos of the business in a few words?
Yeah, so my original platform was called the Queensland Trade Exchange, and I talk around the world about some tips in business, and one of the things is starting with the end in mind, and had I adopted that back in the day, I would never have called it the Queensland Trade Exchange. Great idea when I was in Queensland, but when we moved to other parts of the world, it became a nonsense name. So we started then, we got together with the BBX, which was started by the Toomer family in 1993, and they were operating in Adelaide and Sydney. We were operating in Queensland primarily, and so we used to do reciprocal trading. And so we had an account with each exchange, and so the customers of each exchange could do business with us using a mutual credit clearing system that we had between the two companies. Enabled customers of each to buy and sell to one another through the clearing mechanism. That was in 1993. In the year 2000, I sold my business, Queensland Trade Exchange, to a competing exchange. We then listed that on the UK stock market in 2011. I had a year out of the industry, and then Michael Toomer, who was the founder of BBX, contacted me through LinkedIn that I saw a post that I was free. And he said, why don't you start the BBX brand here in the UK, which is what I did 9 years ago. So that's the journey through BBX. So we've been involved in the very early days of BBX all the way through to current times. It's reciprocal business. So it's people in business, usually small to medium-sized businesses, doing business with one another rather than people outside the group. So you could call that a preferred supplier community. But it's on the basis of reciprocation. Wherever you buy something, it guarantees a future sale. So the structure of the system, going back to the examples I used with the lawyer, you know, he purchased 2 days car hire off me and went 100 negative. The only way he repaid was by doing 2 hours of work when he had spare capacity to do it. So he was able to buy car rental services without the outlay of physical cash, and he was able to zero up his account by getting two new accounts. That doesn't happen if you're paying Aussie dollars or pounds sterling. And the best example of that, I ask people, do you have an accountant? Because everybody usually does. Yes, how much did you pay the accountant last year? £1,000. How long have you had the accountant? 10 years. So in 10 years, you've paid the accountant £10,000, and in return, you've got accounting services. Has that accountant ever come back and done business with you? And invariably, the answer is no. So that's why I believe that the fiat system, and that's all sorts of money, dollars and pounds and bahts and yuans and whatever they are, rupees, is a broken method of doing business, because every time you buy something, all you get guaranteed back, well, most of the time, is the good or service that you've paid for. There's no connection to the money. Whereas with BBX money, every time you buy something, you're guaranteed a future sale of that amount. Not necessarily from the same person, but somebody in the community must come back and do business with you in order to repay the purchase in the first place, which was used via an interest-free credit line.
What are standout moments for you in terms of your own business highlights?
Personally, I guess I've been involved with 2 8-figure exits from business. The first one was a trade sale, and that was done in a mixture of scrip in cash and in trade credits. And the second thing, one was a shares on the second board of the AIM here in London. So having seen a business grow from infancy, an idea to an 8-figure exit twice has been the highlights, I think, of my career. And BBX here in the UK, we're back on track for an 8-figure valuation. So 3 out of 3 is okay batting.
Moving on, what is your thinking on crypto and Scottcoin specifically?
Yeah, so my opinion about crypto hasn't changed. you know, the adverse publicity of the exchange folding, and it looks like, and I'm not at the forefront of it, but it looks like there's malpractice potentially that's gone on as a result of that. So that will always raise, should cryptocurrency be regulated, should it be managed in some other way? My gut feel to that is no. The whole purpose of blockchain, and let's not confuse cryptocurrency with blockchain, the whole purpose of blockchain is that it's a decentralized ledger that's not owned or performed by any one entity or any one person, and it's the mutual agreement by all the stakeholders that agrees that in the authenticity of the transaction. So blockchain is here to stay. There's no question of that. I was in the throes of buying a new house, selling my existing place, and you had to go through the lawyers and get surveys done. And you think in this day and age, you should be able to do a survey once, have that held in some form of tokenized transaction, and when you want to repeat the process, it's all verified that yes, that is the house, it's where it is. It's maybe got a GPS tracking to make sure you haven't moved it, but it authenticates the transaction. So the same with medical records and all sorts of other things. So the verification of record keeping via blockchain is absolutely here to stay. There are different types of cryptocurrency. Some are centralized, some are decentralized. What cryptocurrencies have not yet been able to achieve, certainly not seamlessly, is cost-effective methods of using them as a utility token rather than a store of value. So we've seen with blockchain wild swings, even within a 24 or 48 hour period, they go up and down by, you know, double. And the reason, you know, if you're a merchant and you accept Bitcoin and all of a sudden it's only half the value it was yesterday, then you've in effect given a 50% discount over the goods. And you'll always hear people moan when that happens. You'll never hear them applaud when it doubles in price the next day and they've now got double for the previous one. So I always say to people, it's another arrow in your quiver. So for most businesses, they've got a few arrows in the quiver. They accept checks. Some dinosaurs still around, still accept checks. Debit cards, credit cards, and other forms of payment. And that's why I say with BBX, it's a digital trade credit. So add that as another arrow. Don't throw away the other arrows. Add that. With ScottCoin, it's another opportunity to sell your goods and services, so keep another arrow to your quiver. Now, the more arrows you have in the quiver, the more opportunity that you give to anybody that wants to come and buy your services, additional less hurdles to come and do business with you. And so what I talk around the world is the difference between regular business and spare capacity. And so spare capacity is the ability for any business to take on more business without increasing fixed overhead. And the example I use is a hotel, because everybody stayed in a hotel, understands what they look like. So in our theoretical hotel, we've got 100 rooms. They sell every room for £100 a night. So they've got a good revenue. You know, it's £10,000. And so about a £3 million business. But if they've got an 80% occupancy, which is still a great business, what about the 20 rooms that didn't get sold? It's like my car that was sat on a driveway with a rent me sign. Come tomorrow, it's worth nothing. So why not offer as a merchant, if I was that hotel owner, yes, I accept debit card, credit card, and I do all the marketing, but if I accepted BBX or if I accepted ScottCoin for that empty room, I'm turning that something that was worth zero into new held value. Now, whether I just store that and see what happens or whether I put it in my account and then spend it on something that I want, both of those things are better than leaving an unsold room empty. Now, and the six reasons why leaving an unsold room empty is a dumb thing. The first, there's three marketing ones, which are if an empty room, you don't have a new customer. So if I had a new customer rather than empty room, that's a better thing than an empty room. The second thing, if the customer likes the stay, they're going to tell their friends. And so if you get a bit of word of mouth business, that's better, because an empty room can't give you any referrals. And then the third marketing thing is that that customer is staying in your hotel, not a competitor's hotel, and running the risk of liking it. So there are three marketing reasons why leaving an empty room empty is a dumb thing, in my opinion. There are three financial advantages of monetizing the room as well. If you think in the hotel's example, to sell what would have been an empty room, there's no rise in fixed cost. So the receptionist's paid the same, the chef's paid the same, the rates bills are paid, the energy's on, everything else is the same. The only thing that goes up to sell what would have been an empty room is a bar of soap, a squirt of shampoo, egg and bacon for breakfast, and perhaps cleaning of the room if you outsource the cleaning. Now, that's never going to be more than 10 quid. So if now you have 100 Scott coin or 100 the value of Scott coin, the equivalent, or 100 BBX trade pounds, which are equal to 100 pounds sterling, you've then got some financial advantages at a cost of maybe a tenner. If you then went and bought 100 pounds worth of cleaning using your BBX digital trade credits, for instance, it's only cost you a tenner. You've still got the cleaning done and you've saved 90 quid. So from an asset point of view, that's a good thing. The second thing is any additional revenue counts for strengthening of the balance sheet, and that helps you with getting a loan and getting a loan at cheaper rates if you needed to. And then the third thing is, because a digital trade credit and indeed a Scott coin could be held as an asset in the business, then you're building the value of the business, the turnover of the business, and then when you go to sell it for a multiple of EBITDA, that's earnings before income tax, amortization and depreciation, then you're increasing the multiple for the sale value of your business. An empty room does none of those things.
Is it relevant that Scottcoin identifies as an ethical crypto?
Absolutely, 100%. Not only ethical, but sustainable. And so, you know, there's a big movement, and it's very topical at the moment, with COP27 concluding today. And again, they turn into talk fests. And you have greenwashing that's going on. I look at the FIFA World Cup when they came out and scandalously claimed that they were the first zero carbon event, which was just an out and out utter lie. Looking after the planet in a sustainable way and an ethical business is a criteria moving forward, that it's an ever increasing reason why customers do business with you, particularly the younger generation. The generation that's been brought up with access to information, mainly by social media. That's not all good, by the way, but some of the thing is that, you know, you can't hide in a cupboard anymore. You can't hide behind your statement now that you have an internet and now that you have the availability of information globally. All you have to do is Google it to see that it's either an ethical business or it's not, or it's sustainable or it's not. So businesses that are set up to be ethical, sustainable, and have some kind of mission that gives benefits to all stakeholders, customers, shareholders, directors, owners, but everybody are going to be the businesses of the future.
So there we have it. There's John Attridge, boss of BBX. At its heart, Scottcoin is designed to make the country a better place to live. The ethos behind BBX, a community-driven exchange of goods, is very similar. Scottcoin is the perfect financial tool to slot into the BBX ecosystem. John, thank you so much for joining us today and telling your story. I am Temple Melville, and on the next episode we speak to Michael Paris, Director of FinTech Scotland, for an in-depth look at the technical aspects of the cryptocurrency landscape and how Scottcoin fits in. Goodbye for now.